Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at Newport Craft Brewing, Newport, Rhode Island, Andre Concourse Motor Week, and we were just chatting with this guy, who is the host of Spike's Car Radio podcast, Spike Ferenston. And Wiggy is obsessed, not because of your podcast, but because he used to write not only for Jay Leno, but he used to write for Seinfeld.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Which episodes can we credit you?
Soup Nazi was my first one.
Wow.
Maybe arguably the best ever Seinfeld.
I didn't feel that way when I wrote it, but people seemed to like it.
Oh, wait, that's a great one. You created the Soup Nazi?
Yes. Yes.
That is like the greatest of all time.
Yes.
And I'm from Massachusetts. I'm from New England.
No way.
Yeah.
What else? Other episodes?
Little Kicks, where Elaine dances.
Yes.
Muffin Tops.
Great moves.
Yeah.
Muffin Tops?
Yeah.
This guy's royalty.
I know.
That's what I said.
Holy cow. Cow.
He's writing royalty, and now you're car royalty. So
yeah. Well, we've always been car guys. I used to write for David Letterman, who's a car guy, then went to write for Jerry. I worked with Jay. You know, I've always been around kind of comedy and car people.
Who has a better car collection, Jay Leno or Jerry Seinfeld?
Seinfeld, for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, better is a judgment.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're two different kinds of collections. Like, Jay's collection is amazing, but it's the other side of the hill. And Jerry's collection is very Porsche-focused. So, you know, each collection kind of is a reflection of who they are as kind of guys, you know?
Yeah. You end up – it seems like people who collect end up being like a muscle car-focused collector or a, you know, European, you know, Porsche, Lamborghini, Ferrari kind of.
I think it's what they like to drive. I mean, it's really all it is, you know. And it's unfortunate if your cars end up costing more than the American muscle car. But yeah. It's like a sneaker. When you get in it and you drive it and you love it, that's your thing, whatever it is.
Do you think it's the eras? Because I know I was talking to Rob Ninkovich, who plays for the Patriots, and he's big into cars. And we were talking about how, like, the Trans Am and the...
He loves Broncos and stuff like that.
But, the late 80s, early 90s Trans Ams, like Z28s are starting to come back in, or the Mustang 5.0s. Is it, like, the era that you kind of grow up in? Because I feel like that was my wheelhouse, and I love those type of cars. But I also love, like, the 60s Camaros and the Eleanor, the 68 Shelby Mustang.
Yeah, yeah.
So is
it,
like, more of the... kind of like when you grew up and maybe the cars like just sparked your interest?
It can be, you know, what you dreamed about. Mm-hmm. You know, there are kind of three stages to a car guy. There's the dreaming of stuff, if you're lucky enough to make enough money to afford it, the accumulating of stuff, and then there's kind of the selling of stuff. And right now in the car, you know, like collectible car business, it is about the 2000s and the 2010s and the late 90s. You know, that's the hottest part of the market right now. And that's because guys in their 30s, you know.
Right.
We're just currently looking for things to take our mind off the Red Sox.
Yeah, so. No, I know. I was so psyched to be back here and get back to New England, and I got to my hotel. There were bunk beds in my hotel room.
No way.
And I had a sandwich from Cumberland Farms. Excuse me. I turned on the TV, Red Sox. And I was so psyched to watch the game.
Yeah. And then the fourth inning happened.
You know, I grew up, my brother turned into a Yankee fan when he was 12 years old.
Wow.
1978. You know what happened?
Bucky Dent.
Yep.
Bucky Dent.
Bucky effing Dent.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And yeah. And my best friend and my brother both went Yankees fans, and so
wow.
Texted me less. It was bad.
It was bad.
But, you know, growing up, they lost a lot, so it did feel still a little bit like home.
It felt like home.
Yeah.
All right. So you're doing the podcast down here, and people should tune in and check it out.
Yeah, we're doing the show with Jay in a minute. And okay. I was just joking about his collection. He's got an incredible collection.
All right, good. Yeah, good.
You guys took that really seriously.
Yeah, well, I was like, wow, all right. Step it up. He's got to keep up with Seinfeld.
There's no, but both of those guys have collections that would just blow your mind. Yeah. Like if you ever get out to the Valley or out to L.A., call up Jay and look at what his thing is. You can point to anything in his shop and he'll start it. And so you'll look around and everyone points at the same thing. I did too. An old steam-powered fire engine. From the 1920s. And he goes, okay, watch this. And he hops in, starts it right up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. He drives his cars.
Like for as long as I've been in L.A., I've seen Jay driving things around.
Yeah.
All sorts of things. Wow. He's the real deal for sure.
All right. Well, thanks for chatting with us.
Yes. Yeah,
thank
man.
You. Appreciate it.
Thank you for
all right.
Seinfeld.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
God, Soup Nazi.
You're welcome.
Soup Nazi. Unbelievable.
Great episode. We got to check in with Nick Kostos and find out how we should wager this weekend. He is an Odyssey Sports Wagering Insider and the host of You Better, You Bet. Hey, Nick, good morning.
With you
Nick.
Guys.
Hey,
I
Nick,
just had some jambalaya, boys. Great to be on with you.
A jambalaya? Why?
That's the soup Nazi. That's Newman's line from the episode.
Oh, I thought you were actually having jambalaya.
Jambalaya? How do you not know that? Are you not a big Seinfeld fan?
No, I love Seinfeld. It's not, to me, this is an old school take. It is not the greatest sitcom of all time. I think Cheers was the greatest sitcom of all time.
Oh, you are welcome to your incorrect opinion. So that
yes.
is that is okay. That's
yeah,
all right.
Seinfeld, hands down.
I don't know. It's subjective.
I would say, and honestly, here's a take for you. Two and a Half Men is second best behind Seinfeld.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Friends is the best. You're all wrong.
Oh, Friends?
Yep. I said what I said.
Friends is a sitcom for morons. So,
okay.
glad you love it.
Great.
By the way,
Two and a Half Men?
Yeah, that's the worst thing ever.
That. Nobody has ever
He's
said
right. Two and a Half Men is tremendous.
What's it? Please. What's next on your list? How I Met My Mother?
I would say I never watched
I met
it.
Your mother.
I would say Frasier would be next on my list.
Wow. Really? Well, that's
Love
the
Frasier.
Cheers. So that's connected to Cheers.
Yeah, I would say, honestly, I would say that I'm a little young for Cheers, so I kind of miss Cheers in its heyday. But not a great take by me on Cheers.
But think about the muffin top industry that was created by that guy.
Right. Correct.
Like
right.
that, correct. You go to any grocery store now. They sell the muffin top.
Correct.
Without that Seinfeld episode, none of that happens.
Never would have trademarked it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, never would have happened. On this show earlier, Nick, Nate Burleson picked the New England Patriots to win this game on Sunday.
Is he putting his own money on it or no?
Just his reputation.
I would guess that he just like made that pick and he's not betting on it. You guys know I love the Patriots coming into the year. I bet them to make the playoffs. I loved them last week against Carolina. They were my survivor pick. I do not love them this week in this game. And we'll see if Milton Williams practices today. And you guys know this, right? And your listeners know how important he's been. Signed away from the Eagles. He's been an absolute monster. He was a monster last week. So was Christian Barmore against Carolina. I think if he doesn't play, it's a massive deal. And I think Drake May's the goods. Like, I think the Patriots have their starting quarterback of the future. I think he's a monster. And Josh McDaniels has done a great job. I don't think the Patriots are going to be able to score to keep up with Buffalo in this game. Bill's getting a couple players back from injury. I see Buffalo winning this game by double digits. I will lay the Bills. I'll lay the 8 with Buffalo.
Yeah, I feel like this I don't know what to expect with the Patriots defense. If Milton Williams, and it's been bad for Milton Williams because he was limited and then he was out, didn't practice yesterday. I doubt he plays this weekend. That's the best point yet, Kostos. I think he's a big reason they lose.
Yep. So, yeah, I do like Buffalo in the game, and I feel like, you know, maybe this will be another New England team losing to a New York team coming up on Sunday night.
Okay. Where do you stand? Wiggy and I believe that Mac Jones may keep this job. Do you think that there's a chance that Mac inevitably is the quarterback of the future for the 49ers?
Well, it just gave Brock Purdy $250 million, so I would say, like, unlikely that happens, but look, like, Mac was outstanding last night and was a warrior in that game. Got knocked down so many times, has a sprained PCL, kept getting back up. I thought he was magnificent. I think you need way more than what's happened for Mac to take Brock's job just because of the financial commitment that they made this offseason in Brock Purdy.
But more importantly, what do you think about his suit?
Yeah, he looked like Tommy Lee Jones in Batman, right?
No,
as Two-Face.
Nailed it.
Right? That's what it was. Yeah, like, where's Harvey Dent? That's what it looked like to me. I didn't like it. But then he
where's
was great
Rachel?
In the game, so credit to him.
But, Nick, can I ask you something, though? Do you think that if, you know, they don't rush Purdy back and Mac continues to play, don't you think there's going to be some type of quarterback controversy? Because Purdy wasn't playing good before the injury. And so I would think that the 49er fans would, and there were already whispers about there being a quarterback controversy out there in Frisco.
Well, I think Purdy's probably going to miss at least one more game, and then we'll see from there. It's kind of nebulous right now with his toe injury. So let's just invent a scenario, right? Let's say Purdy's out four games, and Mac wins all four, and he's awesome in all four. Like, yeah, then maybe we have a conversation about Mac as the quarterback, like, even when Purdy's healthy. I think it's very unlikely to happen. First off, like, I think that Purdy's going to be back in the next couple weeks. And then once, like, George Kittle's back and Ayuk's back and the wide receivers are back, I think you're going to have to put Purdy in there. And one thing I will disagree on, like, we really only saw Purdy play one healthy game this year, like, semi-healthy game, and it was the opener against the Seahawks, and he injured his toe in that game, and he led them on a game-winning drive at the very end with an injured toe. So I still think this is Purdy's team. Like, of course there are scenarios you can create where he takes the job. I just think it's very unlikely.
You brought it up, and I'm frankly surprised it took you so long. How was the mood last night in New York and this morning?
So,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think I'm going to be very, like, seriously, like, very fair and honest here. So, like, I'm 42. When I was growing up, we kicked the Red Sox ass all the time, obviously, and everyone in Boston knows that. The Yankees never lost to the Red Sox. And then when 2004 happened and the Yankees with the ALCS collapse, like, the shoe's been on the other foot. And look, like, the Yankees have beaten the Red Sox a million times in the regular season, but when it's mattered, like, the Red Sox have had the Yankees' number. So It actually did mean, like, a little something to me as a Yankee fan. And Red Sox fans, you should take that as a huge compliment, that because beating the Red Sox used to be a foregone conclusion for me as a Yankee fan. Now, when, like, we beat the Red Sox in a huge spot like we did last night, like, it feels extra special. So it just shows how far the Red Sox have come in the 21 years since 2004. It felt great last night. I do think the Yankees will win the American League pennant again and go to the World Series, and I think they will lose to the Dodgers or the Phillies, whoever wins that NLDS series. But
it was the next generation was watching that game thinking the Red Sox would win, and I grew up thinking that they were going to pee their bed every night.
And Curtis, on the flip side, like, you're right about that. Think about, like, young Yankee fans, right, who were expecting them to lose that game last night. So I am sincerely hoping, as a New Yorker, that this was a changing of the guard and that the Yankees can keep rolling now against the Red Sox. It was awesome to win that game last night. I'm not going to lie or front about that.
Speaking of rolling, can I bet on Jackson Dart, Nick?
Like, in this game?
Yeah, against the Saints.
I wouldn't. Dexter Lawrence may not play in the game. The Giants opened as a favorite, Shime, and I disagreed with that with no Malik Nabers. The Saints are favored now. They should be. I struggle with how the Giants are going to have any semblance of a passing game without Nabers. I think the Saints are going to win.
All right, give us one more to wager this weekend before you go, Nick.
All right, let's go with, all right, how about this one? Sunday morning in London, the Vikings and the Browns. So Minnesota's injury report, like, literally just came out moments ago. They are going to be missing three of their five offensive linemen and their backup center. So they're on their third string center up against the Browns' electric defensive front. I know Dylan Gabriel starting. I will take the 3.5 with the Cleveland Browns, and I'll feel good about it. And one other will be Dallas might be without four of their five offensive linemen on Sunday against the Jets. That number is Cowboys minus 2.5. I think the Jets are going to win, and I do like the Jets plus the 2.5 against Dallas.
Nick, it is always awesome to have you on the show, so thank you very much, and congratulations.
Wishing everyone minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. And you know what the soup Nazi said to Connolly early in the Red Sox last night? No soup for you. Next.
They don't like it here. They don't like it. Don't come to Newport. Don't come to Newport for a while.
Newport, one of the best places in the world. Super bougie, right up my alley. I wish I was there with you guys right now.
Yeah. All right.
See you, Nick.
That's the host of You Better You Bet, Odyssey Sports Wagering Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. All right. We got rid of him, that New Yorker. He's
right.
Gone. We're in Newport, Rhode Island. Unbelievable morning so far here in Newport. We will take a quick break, and we will get to your Hill Notes coming up next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's
outside
not,
of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.